This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:38 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So we are moving on to Today on Twitter, which is actually almost directly related because we're talking about hashtag Kita Jaga Kita and hashtag Rakyat Jaga Rakyat, both of which are trending because, of course, of the massive floods this weekend.
Now, I will say that some more critical hashtags are also trending, critical of the government and government response.
Some downright furious hashtags, in fact.
Yes, we may not be able to talk about those. So we are going to focus on Kita Jaga Kita and Rakyat Jaga Rakyat because I think this was actually an incredibly important and in some ways heartening aspect of the awful events that we saw unfold over the weekend. Because, you know, alongside images and videos of people struggling and suffering because of the floods, there was this incredible groundswell of movement just from the average person, from organizations, from community groups that came together and used social media as a way to mobilize help, to mobilize support, to mobilize rescue efforts. And I have to say that while my heart was breaking for just the images that we were seeing, I was so proud of our fellow Malaysians.
Yes. And I think it's important to say here that, I don't know, sometimes when you see Kita Jaga Kita, things like that, it's important to recognize how many small things are happening within that space, you know, small but important. So, for example, there were individual calls for 4x4s to be able to make it into affected areas in order to help people out, in order to help animals out, in order to do all these different things. There were also calls for food drives. There were also calls for donations. There were also calls to donate to larger organizations. And all of this lives under the umbrella of Kita Jaga Kita. And I think for me, while they are all of huge importance, this was one of those times where it really felt as if you can see the value or you feel as if there is some truth in the idea of it taking a village, because people were putting the call out for what they needed and those calls were being received. And I think in a time like this, it's important to know that you do have that there is a landing pad. You know, that if you put the call out there, people are going to hear you. There are people out there who are hearing you.
People saying, I have a place for people to stay. People saying, I have a four-wheel drive. I can drive out and get you in this area. People putting out videos, directing others on where to go for safety. I mean, it really was incredible. I think one aspect, though, that this then opens up is that in contrast, and we are going to address this more significantly later, in contrast, it actually put into stark relief how the help that should have arrived from those in charge felt so lacking. Because, I mean, this shouldn't fall on the average person to do, you know? I'm so proud and heartened that it did and that people stepped up. But it isn't up to the individual to take care of each other during times like this. And we've said this even during the pandemic, that hashtag Kita Jaga Kita, Rakyat Jaga Rakyat is both an indication of Malaysians and how much they're willing to do for each other, but also an indication that the systems we have in place are not working as they should.
No, because if you're talking about social care, and a lot of this emergency care falls under that as well, right? It's providing social welfare. It's actually saying that you're recognizing that people are displaced, that there is a need for basic necessities at this moment, for food, for shelter, for the reunification of families that may have been separated by the floods, and recognizing, in fact, that while there are the most immediate pressing things that need to be addressed after this, there's also going to be the cleanup, there's going to be the reckoning with damage, you know, recognizing all these things and saying, do we not live in a society where there are systems that account for this, rather than putting things out in good faith and hope and saying, okay, I'm hoping that there is someone out there who is going to be helping me. And you're right, I think it is simultaneously hugely heartening. It makes me proud to be Malaysian. It makes me proud to live among a people that would offer this kind of help so selflessly. But it also makes me so disappointed that the larger systems, the people in charge as well, don't seem to be responding or putting things in place ahead of time, for example, so that this wouldn't even be needed.
Just looking at some of the tweets that have come up, and really there's so many, but some of the ones that stood out to me, for instance, multiple tweets of the Gurdwara Sahib Pataling Jaya that's in full swing doing, well, basically preparing and delivering food and water to flood victims. And so there have been many, many tweets around that. There have been businesses saying that they're going to donate their purchases, purchases from their business to flood victims and to NGOs. There have been people offering up things like food and supplies to people who might need it. I mean, really, this isn't one of those segments, I think, where reading out individual tweets necessarily gives you a complete picture. But I think it's just, I think acknowledging just how many people are doing it and jumping into the cause to do what little they can is definitely worth pointing out.
There is this one tweet, though, from Epistemetry, who says, just as how hashtag Kita Jaga Kita has progressed into hashtag Rakyat Jaga Rakyat during COVID times, Malaysian people and our society are harmonious, but it's the politics interweaved in social aspects that create the inevitable divide on race, class and identity. And I think that more or less sets it up and more or less defines the tone, I think, that we've been talking about here, where there is this mix of pride and also of disappointment. So we'd like to hear from you. Were you affected by the floods over the weekend? Did you reach out perhaps to help those in need? What was your experience there like? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back for your messages after this. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:46 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We have been spending this hour and probably much of the next talking about the floods that happened over the weekend, and we've been asking you for your thoughts. So on Popit Popit Parliament, for instance, we heard the Speaker of the House saying that, well, Parliament is somehow not the avenue to talk about this because it was not part of the standing orders and we can't just jump around the agenda. And then in today on Twitter, we were talking about why the hashtags Kita Jaga Kita and Rakyat Jaga Rakyat are trending. And we've been asking you for your thoughts on both fronts. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we have on the line with us to talk about this, Siti. Siti, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening, Lynn. Hi, good evening, Shamitu Shamila. Also, hi, I'm Siti from Shah Alam. I'm basically working there for about 4 years already. So, and I choose to be around my company, which is in Shah Alam also. So, my thought on this matter is, I would say I'm very disappointed. I would say general as to the Malaysia itself. As I've been here, I mean, in Shah Alam for about 4 years already. So, I've been seeing a lot of things in Shah Alam. So I've been seeing that. For example, I mean, if we take the closer matter right now, if we talk about the floods, yeah. For about 4 years that I've been here, flood in Shah Alam is not something that we usually, I would say it's a new thing that happened in Shah Alam. It's something that maybe it's never this big before, but now we know, we talk about more areas are affected, which is like the one that in Kesran, which is the 25, which is the Sri Muda Shah Alam, and then the rest are, for example, in my place also, which is the 22, which is the Kebun Bunga itself. As you can see from the news, the areas are actually covered already, sinks, because we are nearby to the rivers, you know, to the main rivers, I would say. And then mine is much more to the high-rise area. But since the inn are the same with everyone, so of course I cannot enter my area for about, since Saturday morning. So I've been residing with my friend's house. So I would say the things that you mentioned just now about the aid that should be given to us, of course the aid is something that I would say we do need. But then, if we talk about in a 3 years time, in a four years time, we cannot say that we are overlooking this matter anymore. We are the citizens of Malaysia, and then of course the one that I would say the taxpayers of the nations. So this thing actually, of course, I cannot say okay, it should be bombarded as 100% solution, and we cannot have this fly anymore. Of course, I cannot say it like that. But then, if something that we should actually combat it from the root cause itself. Okay, since we already know okay, certain areas actually close to the flood itself. Okay, sorry, close to the main river itself. So we should have maybe a proper plan, proper measure. Maybe I would say next year, or maybe I would say in a 1 month time, because we will have it. Because in Malaysia, it's not something that we are having, which is like a dry season every time. No, it's something that we're having rains and then dry and then green rains. It's just something that it's not even new for about 50 years or 60 years, but because of the development itself, because we have more LRT 3, I'm not sure, maybe might be something more inside the developments. We have more rises in development. So the system itself is something, it's maybe something wrong right there. So before you go for any development, maybe you should reverse back, maybe something that you need to troubleshoot. What happened to our piping system? What happened to the system that we are having now? Is it sufficient enough to really like covering to all those areas, you know, instead of you focusing on the future plans, you know? And then now we talk about the ones that living in the ground, which is like the two stories or three stories. Like even the water actually, you know, hit to the roof. Not even, I'm not sure what happened right there, but then it's very, very bad. So it is something I would say is very short. But then if we can see to the root cause back, you know, if we can dive deeper, if we can see what's wrong here, maybe we can do something, maybe spend something, I would say. So in the next 5 years or 6 years, we will see something, oh yeah, we already did this. So maybe I would say the flood areas will be less affected, maybe less covered area, then we can focus something else more instead of that. We are having this matter every year, every month. Yeah, it's never, I would say it's something never solved right here.
Siti, thank you so much for calling, and I hope you're staying safe. Sorry to hear about how you were affected by the floods.
Yeah, thank you.
And I believe now we actually also have another caller on the line with us. We have Sabrina. Sabrina, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, I'm a medical doctor and also a Mercy Malaysia volunteer, and I also live in Australia. So as Australian permanent residents and citizens, as young as like 3 to 5 year olds, we are all trained how to respond to emergencies like bushfires and floods. So what we need to do, number one, is we already have the MKN SMS. So that SMS should have been activated way back Friday night. And then the second one is I was trying to get news, and Esko Awani and everybody, the media, they were covering the elections. I live in Klang, and I can't even get home. So my tenant was trapped in the house. So today, what I bought was online raft, inflatable raft. So you need to have an inflatable raft in your car as well as at home. Number three is you need to have a grab bag. In your grab bag are all the documents. So for example, if there's a fire, flood, you need to evacuate within 5 minutes. So this is what the military and the Muslim Malaysia train us. Have a grab bag. In your grab bag is something that you're going to survive for the next 24 to 48 hours. Food, battery, charger, anything you can think of, like your passport, your IC, birth certificate, everything should be in there. So grab bag is the third one. And number four is we need to have somewhere we can go to. Like in Klang, I don't even know where is the nearest Balai Raya, you know, like Charles Santiago. I mean, he's been the MP for the past 5 years. And you guys know that the only election promise that we want as Klang residents are the flood mitigation emergency response. I have to check and call the Majlis Perbandaran Klang every time the drain at the back of my house reaches to a certain level. But I haven't been able to do that because I'm already working in Negeri Sembilan. So I can't be the adun to keep on calling the Majlis Perbandaran Klang as well as the Perparitan and Saliran of Selangor. I mean, like, what is your role as the adun and your MKN, okay? So the first one is we can't wait for the government to save us. So as an initiative, I'm trying to, today I called the bomber and the brigadier general of my kampung. I also live in Negeri Sembilan. So for the next 2-3 weeks, I'm going to gather the AJK, the Jabatan Kuasa Kampung. We are going to do an emergency, teach people how to make sure that your house is already cleared. You don't have branches over your roof and you have to have a raft. you have to have your grab bag and all that. So Malaysians who are listening in, please do this. Save yourself, save your family, and we can't wait for the government to save us. So that's what I have to say.
Sabrina, I'm just curious, moving forward, given your experience, what would you like to see? What's essential now?
Essential now is, okay, I am fortunate because the final, my final MBBS question was, okay, cite an example of a disaster and outline the management of disaster management. And I cited the Highland Tower disaster. And I passed and got my MBBS. But I mean, like, really, how many of us really know what to do? So moving forward is we should teach our kindergarten children how to take care if there's a terrorist attack, if there's a man or whoever has a white van, don't talk to strangers. So all those things need to be taught. In Australia, they've been doing it. So Malaysia, if politicians or whoever is in charge of this country, please, if you don't have any idea, take the Australian models. They teach the children from young. I mean, if you can't do your job, then move aside and let people like Syed Saadi and the Muda Muda people to run the country. That's the way forward. And I thank BFM because you guys have a balanced view and everybody should, you know, download your podcast so that we are getting the media that we need. Please. Save yourself, save, you've got to train yourself from the young. And the funny thing was, my father's an ex-military man. I called him yesterday, just at lunchtime. I said, hey, Pa, I called this brigadier general. I'm going to do this and the bomber and all that. I said, have you got any idea? I mean, like, he's like, why do we need to do everything if God will save us? I mean, like, as a joke. But I was like, my goodness, if this is the mentality, if he's not joking, that's the mentality of fellow Malaysians, like ordinary Malaysians. We are going to sink and die in the flood, drown.
Sabrina, thank you very much for calling and also for sharing such such helpful tips, I think, at this time that everyone needs to know.
Yeah. Okay. And keep your charger, your phone charged because, you know, battery life. Without a phone, you can't communicate with anyone. So make sure everybody knows how to contact. If your phone is I'm parked at the site because my kampung, we don't have internet coverage. Okay, so that's another one. MC, what are you doing? Like, my kampung, we don't even have line. So when I got COVID, I was home quarantined twice. Okay, I got COVID twice. Nobody could reach me because my area is out of coverage. So the jendela, whatever, you know, money that you set aside, how many billion, million, whatever, please don't just look at Klang Valley. Okay, no, the kampung, like everybody in Malaysia, don't just focus on the Pantai Timur. I mean, they are so prepared. Now we are KLX, so they're, yeah, we know it's raining. But we are like sitting ducks. I mean, people look at us like, my goodness, you are from KL and you are like this. I went to Aceh to save the earthquake and the tsunami people. And here, in my own backyard, I can't even save myself in my house. I can't even drive to my house. So, that's another one. Please, you guys, do not try to be a hero. In Australia, we are taught, if you see water, don't try to go through. Just, you know, leave your vehicle, take the keys and go. Go and swim, walk, whatever. Don't try to go into water because you will be swept and then the water will trap you. I mean, you've seen it in movies. You just can't. You just can't get out of your car. And you will die in your car. Drowning. Okay? So, get out of your car. Walk. Swim. Another one. If you don't know how to swim, go and sign up how to swim. Okay? You may not or never need to do this, but climate change is real. You need to know how to paddle a boat and swim. Okay?
Absolutely. Sabrina, thank you so much for calling. And I think that's some very, very helpful tips there. Again, if you have thoughts you'd like to share on the floods, that's also what we're going to be discussing after the 6 o'clock news. So keep them coming. Keep it here. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.